Why is that? What does it mean entering paradise without any punishment? It says, usually this practice of satirization is very painful to the person. And it's more painful than the sickness in of itself. Therefore, those people, they depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they do not lose hope from finding cure other than going to the last resort, which is the catharization. Because usually this is done as the final result, something that is the end of it. But those people, they say they never lose hope if they're going to get the healing. Therefore, they do not do something that is as the last resort. This is some of the explanation that was given. So those people, they do not fall into superstition. What is that يتطيرون? Usually the Arab, they used to have a practice. If somebody wants to do something, he goes and see a bird, and he throws something at the bird. If the bird takes off to the right, he will proceed in his business. And if the bird takes off to the left, he will not proceed in his business. This is called superstition. What does it have to do, whether what you're going to do is good or not, with the bird flying to the right and the bird flying to the left? It has nothing to do with it. Therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and another hadith, الطيرة شرك. To practice this طيرة, this superstition, is an act of shirk, an act of association with Allah Azza wa Jal. Because there is no connection with that, this and that. Nowadays, people, they have certain ways of practicing superstition. There's many ways of people to practice superstition. They do not look at the bird. Somebody walks out the house and he sees a black cat. You say, this is a bad day for me. Some people do that. Some people say, well, today is the Friday the 13th. I better stay home. This is superstition. We find a lot of people who seemingly very educated. They build a big hotel and they eliminate number 13 from it. Why is that? This is, all of it is an act of superstition. A person will wake up in the morning and open the paper and he looks at his horoscope and he reads it. This is, if it's good, he will follow and he do whatever he wants to do. If it's not good, he leaves what he has the intention to do. This is also a practice of superstition, a practice of shirk. So those who are from those who will enter paradise without any reckoning, they do not practice superstition. They depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They depend on what Allah will bring to them. It has no connection between you deciding to travel and seeing a black hole outside your window. There is no connection, none whatsoever. Realize that superstition is haram, totally. Whereas, ruqya is not haram, as long as it does not have association in it. Also, catharization is not haram. Yet, the quality of the 70,000 people, what do they do? They do not seek ruqya from others, and they do not do the catharization, and they do not fall into superstition. And else, what else? And عَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ, and they depend upon Allah Azza wa Jal. What does it mean to depend upon Allah Azza wa Jal? What is dependence? A lot of people do not understand dependence on Allah Azza wa Jal accurately. Let me give you an example and see if this is dependence or not. I want to travel from here to Orlando. My car has no gas in it. I would say I'm going to depend on Allah and go without gas. Is that dependent? Why not? Can't Allah? Couldn't Allah make the car go without any gas? He cannot? How can he cannot? Can't Allah make the car go without any gas? Not to Orlando, to China? So why you tell me it's not dependent on Allah if I want to go over there without putting any gas in my car, if Allah can do it?
What do you
say? Al-amal bil-asbab. What did he say? You have to affect the qadir. You have to affect the qadir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he created the creation, he created qadir. And he tied the causes to their consequences. رَضَقَ الْأَسْبَابُ بِمُسَبَّبَاتِهَا. Allah Azza wa Jal created the causes and he connected the causes to their consequences. And he told you, when you want the consequences to come to your life, you have to affect the causes. You have to affect the causes. You have to bring them into effectiveness. If you affect the causes, then depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make those causes fruitful. Not depend on the causes. And here we're going to give you three scenarios. Some people depend on the causes. And some people, they do not depend, and some people, they affect the causes and they depend on Allah Azza wa Jal. We'll give you the example that is very clear. Somebody who wants to have oxygen, he says, well, it's obvious, if you want to have an oxygen, you have to get married. So he wants to get married, he gets married, and he established relation with his wife and he depends on himself for the baby to be created. Is this person dependent on Allah or he dependent on the causes? He affected the causes and he depends on what? On the causes. Okay, we have another person. He says, I want to have children. And Allah can give me children without any marriage. I'm just going to sit here and Allah must give me a child of my own. Is that person dependent on Allah Azza wa Jal? You tell him you have to go and affect the causes. We have a third person, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated for us. If we want our strength, we have to get married, and we have to establish relation with the women, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that marriage fruitful. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make the marriage fruitless. So this person is affecting the causes, yet he is depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make those causes fruitful. Another example, a person who has a headache. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. He goes to the Tylenol box. He opens it and takes 2 pills of Tylenol and swallows that. He could be depending on the Tylenol itself to heal him. Is that dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is no dependence on Allah Azza wa Jal. Another person will take those Tylenol and he says, those are a cause for me to receive healing. And this cause could be suspended or could be what? Could be suspended or it could be affected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'm going to take the pills and depend on Allah Azza wa Jal to make them affected, to make them bring to me what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in them, the healing. So depending on Allah Azza wa Jal is, the definition of it is, تدخل اعتمادي على الله مع الأخذ بالأسباب. كفر الاعتماد على الله عز وجل بجلب المنافع ودفع المضار مع الأخذ بالأسباب. If the true dependent on Allah that He will bring good to you and keep evil at bay, and you do the effect, you affect the causes. So if you want to travel from here to Orlando, you have to affect the causes. Don't think you're going to sit here and mysteriously you're going to be removed all the way over there. You have to affect the causes and depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you arrive to your destination. So those people who will enter paradise without any reckoning, they depend on Allah azza wa jal, the true dependent. It's not a defiance of dependence on Allah Azza wa Jal for a person to seek healing from the sicknesses and the diseases that a person befall him. So if a person have a certain disease, a certain sickness, if he tries to heal himself, to deliver himself from the difficulties and the pain, that does not nullify or reduce his dependence on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And seeking treatment is good in Islam. As Allah, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah did not make a disease unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought with it some type of healing. But which is better, for a person to suffer the pain or for the person to get healing for his sickness? Which is better, for a person to seek healing for his sickness or to be patient, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards the patient and with no reckoning? The answer to that, we look at the hadith of Ata' ibn Rabah. Ata' ibn Rabah, Ibn Abbas said to Ata' ibn Rabah, ألا أريك امرأة من أهل الجنة؟ قلت بلى. قال هذه المرأة السوداء أتت النبي فقالت إني أفرع وإني أتكشف، فادعوا الله لي. قال إن شئت صبرت ولك الجنة، وإن شئت دعوت الله عز وجل أن يعافيك. قالت أصبر. قالت فإني أتكشف، فادعوا لي أن لا أتكشف، فدعا لها. رواه مسلم. This hadith that Ibn Abbas said to Ata' ibn Rabah, would I point out for you a woman in of the people of paradise? He said yes. He said this black woman, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she told him, I have seizure. So, and when I have seizure, I expose myself. Make dua for me to be delivered from this calamity. He told her, if you are patient, paradise will be for you. And if you want, I will make dua for you. She said, no, I will try to keep myself patient. But make dua for me not to expose myself when I have my seizure. So the Prophet ﷺ made dua for her not to be exposed. So from this hadith, we have several benefits. That this woman was sick and she was trying to get healing for her sickness. The Prophet ﷺ gave her an ultimatum. We can give you the healing, but if you are patient and you put up with your sickness, paradise will be for you. So is that, how is that related to us today? If we tell to a person, he says, well, I have an infection, something. Should I put up with it or should I go and seek some medication? Which one is better? We say what is better is as follows. First, the sickness does not hinder you from doing your act of worship. and does not hinder you from doing your duty. And it's not the type of sickness, if you ignore it, it might enlarge and become bigger and complicate the situation and put you to death. If it's not one of those three, you can put up with it and deal with it and be patient, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for your patience. But if it is the type of sickness that will hinder you from doing your duty, you say you have to seek help for it to do your duty and to do your religious obligation. Or if it is the type of sickness that if it is ignored, it will get more severe by the time, then we have to tell you, you have to treat yourself. It's a must. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ وَقَالَ وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Allah said, do not kill yourself. And if you're not seeking treatment, that means you are killing yourself. But if your sickness was like this woman's sickness, a seizure, it does not get any, it's just a seizure. If your sickness is limited to itself, then if you want to choose to be patient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might reward you. And if you seek treatment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also might make it better for you. This one thing. The other thing that we have to talk about this hadith, look at this woman of our righteous brother sister. When she is in seizure and she coming exposed, would she be blamed for it? Would she be sinful for it? Or not? Why not? She's out of her head. Yet she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua for her not to get exposed. See how much she was taking care of her hijab and taking care of her being covered and taking care of she was to cover her modesty. And learn from the righteous predecessor. هذه المرأة وهي مصابة بالصرع تسأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يدعو لها فلا تتكشف حفاظا على حجابها وحفاظا على عفتها. فما ذلك بنساء اليوم وهم ليس بهم لا صرع زعموا يخرجون وهم متكشفين، فأيهم المفروع؟ أيهم المفروع حقا؟ نساء اليوم هم المفروعات، لأنهم يخرجن وفي حالة عقلية زعموا أنها مستوية متكشفات متبرجات، وكأنهن يقولن نحن النساء اللاتي لا ترين ريح الجنة، كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سنتان من أهل النار لم أرهما بعد، ونساء كاسيات عائرات مالئات مميلات لا يرين الجنة لا يدخلن الجنة ولا يرين ريحها. So this woman who is in seizure, she's asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua for her not to be exposed. Now we have women that are not in seizure. They walk in the street uncovered. Their hair shown, their body shown, and they claim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that they have brain up there. We really doubt the intelligence and we doubt the sensibility of a woman who insists on going uncovered, showing her hair, and showing her arms, and showing her legs, and she says she is a Muslim, and knowing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there's two types of people, I have not seen them, they are the people of hellfire. One of them are women who will be naked but dressed. Meaning they have some clothing on, but they still show a lot of their bodies that should be covered. And they are tilted and they will lead others to their way. And their hair is up high like that. Those people will never enter paradise. And they're not even going to smell the odor of paradise. So let us take example of our righteous predecessor of this woman who is the woman of paradise. Radiallahu anha. So those people are the people who establish Tawheed. In this hadith, the 70,000 people who will enter paradise without any reckoning will establish, are establishing Tawheed. And that will bring us to the virtue of Tawheed. We said in the first chapter that we have to establish Tawheed. That was the first chapter. What was the second chapter? The virtue of Tawheed. وَمَا يُكَفِّرُ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ. And the third chapter, مَنْ حَقَّقَ التَّوْحِيدِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. So now we know the importance of Tawheed. We have to establish Tawheed. Whoever established Tawheed will enter paradise. But whoever established Tawheed completely and perfectly will enter paradise perfectly, meaning without any reckoning and without any punishment. And there are 70,000 people. 70,000 people, if you compare that number with the millions and billions of Muslims, very little number. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from them, especially when we know the hadith of Imam Ahmad, which is a hadith sahih al-Tawban, قال ليدخلن الجنة من أمتي 70,000 لا حساب عليهم ولا عذاب مع كل ألف 70,000. 70,000 people from my nation will enter paradise without any reckoning and without any punishment, and with every thousand there is 70,000. So multiply that up, what will it come up to? No.
40.
49 million?
Oh, 48. 49.
Every thousand, 70,000. Every thousand, 70,000.
49.
Yeah, you multiply. You have to multiply. So the calculation of it, there is, in 70,000, there is 70. Multiply 70 by 70,000, 4,900,000 people. So the amount of people will enter paradise without any questioning, 4,970,000. Because we have to add the original 70,000. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those people. Having said that, we finish this chapter and we have the issue. The first issue, معرفة مراتب الناس في التوحيد, is to know the level of people in establishing Tawheed. People vary in their establishment of Tawheed. ما معنى تحقيق التوحيد? What does it mean to establish Tawheed? We have gone through that. We leave all type of association, all type of sins, and all type of innovation. المسألة الثالثة, ثناؤه سبحانه على إبراهيم بقوله لم يكن من المشركين. Allah praised Ibrahim because he's not from the association. ثناؤه على سادات الأولياء بسلامتهم من الشرك. Allah praised all those أولياء because they were safe from ascribing partners to Allah عز وجل. والذين هم بربهم لا يشركون. The first issue is كون ترك الرقية والكي من تحقيق التوحيد. It means to keep it away from categorization. Rukya is the fullest amount of establishing tawheed. But here to leave ruqya, it means to leave secret ruqya. Not doing ruqya, because we know the Prophet ﷺ established the utmost level of tawheed, and he used to do ruqya to himself and to his grandson, the granddaughter. السادسة كون الجامع لتلك الخصال هو التوكل. Possessing all those characteristics is has to do with depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore at the end of the hadith it says والذين على ربهم يتوكلون, and those who depend on Allah Azza wa Jal. So the person who depends on Allah Azza wa Jal will not fall into superstition, will not practice, ask people to make ruqya for him, and he will not go to the catharization, because he is hoping for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him what he asked for. The seventh issue, the deep knowledge of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who knew that such degree of trust in Allah could not be attained without action. And the reason for that, the companions were questioning, who are those people who will enter paradise without any action? They were questioning. That means those people, they have to do some things to enter paradise in this type of perfection. The eighth issue, the superiority of the followers of Muhammad, and they were very much persevering for the righteousness, for the truth. We know this, that the followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the most of the nation, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, and I saw a greater amount of people, and it was said to me, this is your nation. The fifth issue, the virtue of the people of Musa, the follower of Musa, because they were a great type of people who came under the flag of Musa. The 11th issue, that all the nation will be paraded before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The 12th issue, every ummah will be accompanied by its respective prophet. أن كل أمة تحشر وحدها مع نبيها. The 13th issue, generally few people responded to the call of the Prophet. كل من استجاب للأنبياء. We understand this, يأتي النبي ومعه الرجل والرجلان. The messenger will come and only one people responded to him. And the messenger will come and only two people responded to him. الرابعة عشر أن من لم يجبه أحد يأتي وحده. The prophet whom nobody responded to will come alone before Allah. الخامسة عشرة ثمرت هذا العلم وهو عدم الاضطرار بالكثرة وعدم الجهد في الكلة. The substance of those facts is that the man should not worry about numbers, neither must he feel proud about his huge numbers, nor be disheartened by the less numbers. الثالثة عشرة الرخصة في الرقية من العين والحمى. The permission to make ruqya of evil eye and poisonous tongue. السابعة عشرة the hadith it has done well by stopping on what he has heard. The depth of the knowledge of the predecessors, because this is what he responded to him. He told him, you have listened to that, and it's good that you have followed what you have listened to. الثامنة عشر بعد السلف عن مدح الإنسان بما ليس فيه. the avoidance of the predecessors of praising anyone undeservedly. We take that where he said, I will not pray when I saw the shooting star. Number 19, the prophet's statement that you are one of them is a sign of his prophethood. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت منهم من أعلام النبوة. فضيلة عتيشة, the virtue of عتيشة, because the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم told him, you are of those 70,000 people. عتاشة. Number الحادية والعشرون, it says here, استعمال المعاريض, to mention something casually among other things, or a description open to various interpretations. This is what we told you about the method of the teaching of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he said 70,000 people will enter paradise without any reckoning, and he got up and left. That left the people in excitement. They want to know who are those people. Number 22, حسن خلقه, the excellent manner of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And by saying that, we end the chapter, the third chapter of the book of Al-Tawheed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it established in our hearts. وهذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. And if you have any questions, إن شاء الله we shall take your question in the next few moments that we have. يعني تعريف الشيء على التفصيل فيه.